Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. Little free libraries must be stopped. We've got that story plus the Fed rate hike fake out. But first, cops accidentally record themselves fabricating charges against a protester. You can't make this stuff up. Three Connecticut state troopers fabricated criminal charges against a man protesting at a DUI traffic checkpoint, according to a lawsuit filed against Connecticut State Police last week. The state troopers appear to have accidentally filmed themselves making up the charges using the protester's own confiscated video camera. The roadside protest in question was not out of the ordinary for Michael Picard, a 27-year-old East Hartford man who's something of a regular at DUI checkpoints in Connecticut. This article goes through basically the blow-by-blow of this exact encounter, of how the cops got his camera back to the car, talk about what they're going to do, and you can tell that ain't the first time they've done it before. They don't have to over-explain to each other. They can use the jargon and use the code, so, oh, we'll drop a number on it, and we'll still do this. It's really interesting, and I'll include a related, as if that's not bad enough. Police using 10 different types of checkpoints, with even more on the way, everything from Super Bowl to DUI to seatbelts to you name it. James?
Yeah, well, I think the only difference between this story and a lot of the other times when police fabricate charges against people is that this one, they were stupid enough to record it on camera. So at least he has that evidence, and so the story gets out. But can you imagine if they had not recorded it on camera? It just would have been another, it wouldn't have even made a mention in the local newspaper, I'm sure. Oh, just another DUI guy stopped and look at this, he was resisting arrest or whatever they want to say. So there you go, and I suggest people do check out some of this guy's other videos where he's filmed himself on a couple of occasions, going through checkpoints and refusing to cooperate, and they let him by last time, the one that I saw anyway, but this time maybe not. So it's one of those things. If everyone protested, it would be it would be a lot easier. But since only a few people do, then they single them out and they try to frame them with charges. Nothing particularly surprising there, just disappointing. But on a related note, I'll throw in the link from Joel Van Doren on Twitter, who tweeted, NYPD admits accounting for its civil forfeiture seizure is hopeless, where the New York City is trying to get the NYPD to account for all of the stuff they steal from people who they pull over or detain. And the NYPD is saying, we can't possibly do that. That would crash our system. So we can't account for all the stuff we steal from people. It's crazy. It's a crazy system, and it is getting worse and worse. As the economy falls apart, it just gets more and more open, outright looting of the average people, and that turns into riots, and those riots turn into more policing, and it's just a self-feeding spiral at this point.
Well, and I've got it actually tagged at the end of the show notes, James, but it's a fine insert right here. Your latest episode of Film, Literature, and New World Order about the Purge. It is very much kind of Purge-like right now, as chaos kind of seems to, keep spilling out in the States. So as we come to you, I'm still recording this on September 21st. This is episode 284 of New World Next Week, and today we saw in the States the Fed fake out. As always, we're just on pins and needles to see which way the numbers are going to go. But the question everyone was waiting for at today's Yellen presser, after they say they're not going to change rates, not just yet, but maybe before the end of the year, and gotcha. Yellen responded to the question that everybody wants to know, the accusation that Donald Trump made that the Fed is keeping rates low to prevent a market crash and make Hillary's re-election easier, came when, basically, Wall Street Journal's John Hilzenrath, who said, quote, Donald Trump has charged that the Feds are keeping interest rates intentionally low for the Obama administration. Janet Yellen said, quote, well, I think Congress very wisely established the Federal Reserve as an independent agency in order to insulate monetary policy from short-term political pressures, and I can say emphatically that partisan politics play no role in our decisions about the appropriate stance of monetary policy. We're trying to decide what's the best to foster price stability and maximum employment and to manage the variety of risks that we see as affecting the outlook. We do not discuss politics at our meetings, and we do not take politics into account in our decisions. I think the nice two for Tuesday on that one, James, from just a week or week and a half ago, September 6th, Clinton also, of course, seeking to get the attention away from hashtag Hillary's health, also told the Donald to shut up about the Federal Reserve, almost like they're above the presidency.
Yes, that sounds familiar for some reason. Oh, wait, yes, that's exactly what Greenspan said several years ago when he was being interviewed by Bill Moyers. I can't remember. It was a PBS program of some sort. And he said, yeah, they're above any criticism from the president, essentially, which is, yeah, that's the way it works. You don't talk about monetary policy. Presidents don't get involved in that, right? Yeah. Well, so for people who want more background on this story and why it's important, I wrote an editorial for The Forecaster a couple of weeks ago called How the Fed Can Swing the Election, where I talked about this idea that, yes, if the Fed wanted to, they could crash the economy right now by hiking rates and bringing everything to a halt. And what would be the effect of that? Almost certainly, it would be Hillary losing the election. People don't tend to vote for the party in power during a financial crash, as we saw in 2008. So yes, I mean, it's no surprise to me that they didn't hike rates today. They want to maintain the status quo. They want to keep the bubble going for at least a few more months until Hillary is anointed. So I think that plays in perfectly well. And so this back and forth is perfectly predictable. But let's not fall into the trap of thinking, oh, Donald Trump is against the Federal Reserve. Not in the least. In fact, just a few months ago, he was saying, I'm a low interest rate guy. I love these low interest rates from the Fed. So all he cares about is using the Fed to finance government debt, like every other president ever. No one of any platform is talking about ending the Fed this selection cycle. So select who you want. The banksters are going to win.
This selection cycle, or as we've taken to calling it on Twitter, America's next top president, seems completely interminable. Before we'll do another one of these episodes, they will actually have one of their first big debates, which I think might be one of the most anticipated TV viewings in a long, long, long time. Our third and final story, James, has shades of good news. I know. There's a satirical piece, kind of tongue-in-cheek, and it's over on Activist Post. You've maybe heard of little free libraries. There's something I've actually been talking about off and on all throughout this year on the new Good News Next Week spinoff from here, where we talk about kind of ways that we're winning and solutions-oriented news. And the fantastic thing about that, and James, I think it shows the power of kind of positivity, to sound hokey, because these ideas spread kind of so rapidly, and you realize that everybody's kind of hitting upon some of the same solutions at the same time, and you see it just spread exponentially. Little free libraries are the little things that might be in your neighborhood that have basically leave a book, take a book. Now, as is written on Activist Post in a tongue-in-cheek fashion, since Obama came to the throne in 2008, libraries, and in particular smaller branch libraries, have seen their funding cut again and again. So with libraries becoming more difficult to access, some lawless folks have taken matters into their own hands and erected small free lending structures in front of their homes to help bring the joy of reading to more people. These structures are known as little free libraries, and there are tens of thousands of them across the states. The Little Free Library website details over 40,000 of these free-to-use libraries that don't cost taxpayers anything and doesn't cost the government a cent. The reason these things are so dangerous, as this article goes through, is that you can have people thinking that they can do whatever they want in their own home, setting up boxes of books and just exchanging things willy-nilly. Next thing you know, they'll want to have a say about whether or not they can grow food or whether property taxes might even be necessary in the first place. These ideas, I think, are the super powerful. And as is noted, you'll find in the comments, and of course, everything that we mentioned on these episodes will be included in the show notes so you can do more research for yourself. People will point out, as is oftentimes the case, as I've seen it in my own neighborhood here, it's like, yeah, they're filled with a bunch of Danielle Steele and a bunch of crap. The good idea would be to load it with good materials. Now, of course, be selective. I wouldn't be dropping Franklin scandal books in maybe your neighborhood little free library. Tailor your approach, which, again, that's how they do it to sell their propaganda. If you can put truth Truth News out in your little free libraries, that's just another fantastic way. So you'll see throughout this story all the neighborhoods that are trying to stop it, same kind of places that want to argue about whether or not you can grow food in your lawn. And these fights, these sort of ideological battles are growing more and more, and it seems to reach, you know, a ridiculous level where at the same point where it seems like it's going to be the purge, it might also seem like the illusion's about to be broken and people won't be calling the cops anymore and people won't be going to the banks or all the other kind of crumbling institutions. They'll just be going to their neighbors.
We must squash this scourge of freedom before it takes foot in the population. It's just ridiculous, the idea of communities coming together to share what they have without going through the government. What will we have next? Little kids operating lemonade stands without a license? That's disgusting. Or even imagine parents schooling children themselves instead of going through the public indoctrination system. I can't stand the thought of it. This is one of those tiny little things that is a tiny little step towards what we want and a tiny step away from the purge. And this is it. It's a choice that people are making every day, whether to just, you know, log on online and get outraged about this or that story and start hating their neighbors, or start working with your neighbors, cooperating with your neighbors, finding ways to interact with your neighbors. Maybe putting that Franklin Scandal book in this little free library. Why not? Why not? Maybe it'll be the ticket for someone to actually wake up. You never know. So, yeah, there's nothing whatsoever bad about the idea of little free libraries. And the fact that it would ever come into the crosshairs of government tells you something about government itself.
A great related to this is something we've talked about in the past on New World Next Week. I've got a link back 6 years ago on MediaMonarchy.com for something called Dead Drops, for possibly when Cybercom pulls the plug on all of this, as we've talked a million times about the I-9/11 and the I-Patriot Act that's sitting on the shelf waiting. Speaking of good news, the latest episode of Good News Next Week, I published this couple of days ago, hashtag cats not ads in the London Underground, as all the advertising was replaced just by pictures of cats. And it's a great kind of no logo, kind of no advertisement free space idea. Two other headlines, James, that we're looking at using hashtag New World Next Week. Pharma hackers show how to make your own DIY EpiPen for about $30. So Mylan CEO is actually being grilled by Congress today, of course, being angry about situations that they actually helped put into motion. But also, one last note on America's Next Top President. A Kennedy says that a Bush is voting for a Clinton. So just like if you need any note of a government that would want to destroy little free libraries, that should also kind of let you know where we sit, James.
Yeah, but Bush and Clinton are two peas in the same pod? I can't imagine that. Yeah. All right, well, nothing surprising, just a lot of disheartening news, but some good news in there as well. And of course, people can stay tuned to Good News Next Week for all of the good news in one place. James, we're going to leave it there for this week. Looking forward to next week.
Thanks, man. Take care.